Welcome back to Startup Nation on WJR. Here's Jeff and Dan.
All right, back on Startup Nation Radio, the show for anyone who wants to start or grow a business. We're giving you access to experts. We're calling this the Coach's Corner Show, guys. We've got Josh Linkner on. We've got Dan Gliske. We've got Rich Sloan, myself, Jeff Sloan. We're happy to be with you. And we're going to go to a call in a minute. Josh, you were answering a question that Rich had for you about, I believe it was relating to you bringing smarts in addition to your capital.
Yeah, real briefly, I was just going to say that a good venture firm, and certainly this is what we do, I gave you some examples. We might spend a couple hours doing role-playing on a sales pitch to make sure that that entrepreneur is prepared for battle. We might get them access to a new customer. We might help recruit and even interview key executives to help join the company. And so these are the on-the-ground, deep-in-the-trenches efforts that are needed to help companies expand as quickly as possible.
Okay, great, great. Hey, I've got one question. We're going to go right to a caller. We've got a caller here we're going to go to in a minute. But Josh, I just want to, for those people out there who are thinking about accessing capital to get their business rolling, what are some of the key hallmarks that you look for? You know, the high-level stuff. For example, I'll throw one in, management team, right? I mean, that's critical. You got to have a great management team if you're going to access venture capital.
Yeah, so I can break it down for you. We look at three key areas. We call it the jockey, the horse, and the race. So the jockey is the individual or team that's coming, but the horse is the actual business itself, the technology, how disruptive it is, how well it solves a real problem, and the race is the overall market opportunity and competition. So, but on your point, on the management team, what we look for are counterintuitive things. We don't only look for people that are charismatic and larger-than-life entrepreneurs. We look for a track record of execution, people that have the stick-to-itiveness that's needed, people that can show how they can overcome adversity, and also those that demonstrate open-mindedness and humility. And we believe these are mission-critical ingredients because, as you know, building a company is tough, and we want to make sure that we have the best possible people leading the charge.
And you guys are looking for, we should point out too, just real quickly, you're looking for companies that you can exit from. So what that means is that when you guys invest as a venture capitalist into a company, you're establishing an equity position in the company. The way you guys get your return, you put money in, there's time that, you know, as the company grows and develops, and then ultimately that company has a liquidity event in the form of either an IPO, but more likely an acquisition by a bigger company. And that's where you cash out and get your return on your investment, right?
That's exactly right. And there are other forms of financing that are not geared toward an exit. For example, if someone can qualify for bank debt, you know, the bank's job is to be a lender, not an equity owner of the business. And so they make money based on interest, not on an eventual sale of the company.
Okay, well, listen, we're going to go to a call, Josh, and we'll feather in some more substance as we go. Feel free to jump in and give us whatever points of information you want to interject along the way. But we've got a caller. Let's get right to him. George from Ann Arbor, you've got a question for us. Josh, welcome to Startup Nation Radio.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
So I heard Josh talk about VC funding and perhaps some other forms of funding for businesses, such as bank loans. So I want to hear more about that. As a prospective entrepreneur, I don't have access to VC funding, and I'd like to know from Josh, what are my other options?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And we should point out, too, Josh, what is it, about 2% of all businesses being started qualify for the venture capital type of funding? Or, you know, it's a very, very small percentage. So George's question is a good one. I'm sure a lot of other people are wondering the same thing. If not venture capital, Josh, any suggestions on where to go?
Absolutely. And by the way, even though I spent my life as a venture capitalist, it does not mean that's the only route at all. And there are many incredibly successful people and businesses that have never raised venture capital. So other routes can be sometimes friends and family are able to contribute and help out. Maybe doesn't need quite as much capital to get going. There are SBA loans. The Small Business Administration sometimes will back and guarantee a bank loan. So the bank essentially is the lender, but the federal government who wants to encourage small business backstops the loan to provide a little more safety for the bank. So there are also many times in local communities, there are incubators and accelerators that are willing to take a shot that they're not quite as concerned about the return. They just want to make a difference in their community. So I would encourage entrepreneurs to, you know, visit Startup Nation, where there's a tremendous amount of insight and information, and choose the route that's best for them.
And my favorite form of funding, bootstrapping. I mean, get to revenue as quickly as possible. Fund the company through revenues. That way you're not giving up equity. You're not giving up control. You're not having to, you know, sign up to a bank loan, which in many cases requires a personal guarantee and all the other risk that goes with that. If you can get to revenue quickly, that's the best way to fund a company.
That's it, George. This is Dan. I've been involved with seven startup companies, and not one have I been involved with VC money. the key is your customers, your customer base, the marketplace. Again, the market does not lie. If you've got a great idea, the customer is going to pay for it, and that could self-fund that business. So really focus with your customers and who's buying your product. Some of the suppliers in that supply chain as well may want to invest in your company as well, or your idea, because they see the value of what you're bringing to the table.
And once you get some of those sales in place, you can even do things like creative financing, factoring, other things against the receivables.
Sure.
Yeah, they can get kind of interesting. And by the way, you talk about you've never had to take VC funding. Now, of course, that depends on the type of company. I mean, if you're a biotech company and you're getting started,
that's right,
there's not going to be revenues for a long time, just as an example. You've got to access that kind of capital. And for companies who want to achieve fast growth, really fast growth, venture capital is a fundamental component of making it happen, especially venture capital like the kind you can get from Josh.
Well,
and
when
DVP
you get the
guys.
Kind of access to experts and information, their Rolodex, the kind of things that Josh could give you, that's invaluable.
Invaluable.
And the other thing that I really love is how they can help you exit. So many entrepreneurs, when they get going, they don't know how they're going to exit. And one of the things that Josh brings to the table is the fact that he's going to show you how you're going to exit.
Hey, Josh, what if I come to you and say, I want to have a lifestyle company? I'm not interested in selling my company. I want to get in. I love this business. I'm proud of it. It's part of who I am. Maybe it's whatever it may be, some sort of family, whatever. Whatever that ties someone personally to that business. I don't want to sell my business. What do you say to that?
Well, you know what? The venture route is not for everybody, and I say that's great, and you can have a wonderful business, you can make a lot of money, you can make a difference in your community, you can serve customers, you can follow your passion, great, no problem. It's not the right fit for us as investors, but it's certainly a wonderful thing, and a lot of our economy is made up of people who have a passion. Maybe you're a guitar manufacturer, maybe you do beautiful woodworking. That's great, and there's nothing wrong with it, and people should pursue it if that's their dream.
Yep, okay, great. And I know we've got another caller. Should we go? What do you think, guys?
Let's go.
Let's go right back at it. We've got Maureen in Troy, Michigan. Maureen, welcome to the show. You got a question for us.
Thank you. Hi, Jeff. I listened to Dan Gilbert on your show last week. He was great. He advised not to just go on a spreadsheet when doing financial planning, and that really resonated with me in the formation of my company, Intellimans.com. So I was wondering, what do you guys feel? How do you feel about financial projections? How far should you go? What should you cover? What should you not try to cover?
Well, that's a great question, and I'm going to pass it to, anybody can open it up. I'm going to pass it to Josh first, but listen, as it relates, just real quickly, a quick comment. When we talk about financial projections, I think this kind of happened, at least for me anyway, being in business in the 90s, where financial projections and business plans and everything became a sales document, not a, how to run your company, how to manage your company, how to know where you are, how to know where you're going. It's really no longer an operational roadmap. It became more of a sales document. And so, Josh, when you see projections, sometimes I'm sure you're presented that hockey stick that, is too glorious to be true. So let's go right to it. Dan mentioned, it's not all about, in that case, he really wasn't referring to projections. He was referring to spreadsheets in the way of, seeing the health of the business, where you are, knowing where you are. Talk to us about financial projections.
As you're starting a business, I think it's important to understand the economic drivers of the business. It's not so much that, you're going to materialize your projections exactly as they are, because nobody does. Life is always filled with twists and turns. But understanding, for example, if you sell something, whether it's a service or a product or even a piece of technology, what is your cost of selling one unit of that, and how much can you charge? What do you project to be the cost to acquire each new customer? How much would a customer spend over the lifetime of that relationship? So understanding the key levers and drivers of your business, I think, are important. It doesn't mean that the spreadsheet's the only thing that matters, because it's not. It's all about serving customers and building a great culture. But at the same time, you definitely need to understand the basic core blocking and tackling fundamentals of your business so that you know where to invest your time, money, and resources.
Yeah, so it's all good. But Josh, in terms of in a business plan, let's say someone's going to present you with an opportunity to invest. What is fundamental to include in the basic projections? What's got to be there?
Well, one thing, I'll tell you the detailed stuff, but one of them is just we give it a sniff test. If someone comes to me and says, year one we're going to do $5 billion, and year two we're going to do $20 billion, which would be like many times faster than the fastest growing company in the history of the world, of course we're going to approach that with skepticism. And to us that means that the entrepreneur is just not being thoughtful about their approach. At the same time, if someone says, listen, 10 years from now the most I'll ever do is $100,000 in revenue, it's probably not a high growth business for us to invest in. So we look at it more directionally than we do the specific numbers. What we do want to see, though, is very basic stuff. What's the forecast over the next 24 months in terms of both revenue and profits? How much capital are they going to need to drive the business to the next level?
Right.
Just the basics are good for us.
Right. Okay, great. Listen, you're listening to Startup Nation Radio out there. If you're thinking about starting or growing a business, this is the show for you. We're going to come back with more with Josh Linkner, Rich Sloan, Dan Gliske, and me, your host, Jeff Sloan. Startup Nation Radio, we're to call in. We're going to take your calls. We're going to take some more calls. 800-859-0957. Give us a call. We'll get your questions answered and get you pointed in the right direction on Startup Nation Radio.